Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday morning. It's August 17th, 2018. Good to be with you. We are live from the Shrine of the Little Flower in Royal Oak, Michigan. We have a nice crowd gathering after the 8:30 Mass. And let's have a round of applause for our crew here. And we've got great pastries and coffee. And if anyone is out there and knows anyone in Michigan, tell them to come on by 12 and Woodward, the Shrine. And every year we do this at the famous Woodward Dream Cruise, which is actually an international event. It's a classic car event that has grown to 1.5 million now. I was going to say several hundred thousand, but I was doing some research on the website last night. And over 1.5 million people from around the Motor City, Michigan, and of course, not just the country, but the world. It's a huge event, a lot of charitable things going on. And of course, the Catholic Church is right in the heart of it at 12 Mile and Woodward at the beautiful Shrine. And my friend, Monsignor Robert McClory, whom I've known for many years here in the Archdiocese, is a relatively new pastor. Monsignor, this is year number two, correct?
It is. It's a joy to be here as the pastor, the rector. We're a national shrine and a basilica dedicated to St. Therese, the Little Flower, and we are delighted to be at the focal point of a great community event, and we use it to evangelize and let people know Jesus loves them and they have a place in the church.
You were telling our listeners in the first hour, Monsignor, about the priests that you have here this weekend and how many confessions you heard last year and some of the other really powerful spiritual moments that occurred.
That's right. As Pope Francis says, we're called to go out of our churches, and so literally we have the opportunity on the corner to have individuals who come by if they want to talk to a priest, if they want to receive a blessing, if they have a question, if they want to go to confession. And so throughout the day, we have a whole set of lay people who are involved in evangelization outreach through St. Paul Street Evangelization. Here at the parish, we're blessed to have 4 full-time priests assigned to the parish. And so we are out there steadily throughout the day. And last year, I would have heard probably a dozen confessions, you know, I mean, wow. Outside we go to a private little spot, yeah. But we offer that opportunity, and for some people who it has been a long, long time since they have walked inside a church, the fact that we're outside of the church, letting them know we're here, is a point of contact that they're so grateful for.
And tell our listeners, if they've never been, we've got a whole group coming in, as you know, from out of state and from around the state for our wine tasting and our Matter of Taste event that happens every year. Myself, Kelly Walquist, Deacon Dom, and Father Mario More, a wonderful priest from the Archdiocese. And we take people just away for a short weekend, but it's grown to the point we're bringing people in. I wish we had time to take them to the Shrine, because, and some are actually staying over, and we're recommending they visit the Shrine. Tell us about it.
The Shrine is a beautiful and historic church. We are a basilica recognized as such by Pope Francis just a couple years ago. We have a glorious and impressive tower of Christ crucified at the top of it, and then the church itself is really just a treasure of architectural design and spiritual vitality. So we host a number of pilgrimage groups. We offer on the weekend, including a Saturday morning Mass, we have 9 regularly scheduled Masses on Saturday and Sunday. We have frequent opportunities for confession. We have a Spanish Mass. We have a early childhood center through high school of about 1,000 students total in there. And we have a 24-hour adoration chapel. And so people come here literally at all hours of the day and night to be able to pray and to spend some time with the Lord.
It's a beautiful place. And I remember years ago I covered for Catholic television when the Relics of St. Therese came here. Remember they had that big event?
Oh, it was extraordinary, the number of people who came. And then more recently, we had a first-class relic of Blessed Solanus Casey.
I remember that, yeah.
And the first feast day, mm-hmm. which was July 30th, we had an evening Mass here with Archbishop Vigneron. The basilica was packed. I mean, probably about 2,500 people who would have been in here. It was just a tremendous experience of faith and vitality.
Blessed be God in all of his designs, right?
Amen. Thank God ahead of time.
Amen. Amen. Monsignor McClory is going to be with me for the entire program, and it's great to have him as my co-host, as he does every year. We should do this more often because you have a great radio voice.
This is a lot of fun.
I tell you that every year. You should do more like voiceover work for us or something, or maybe you could be a guest host for me or Al, you know? All right, so we have a busy show this morning. Of course, our dear friend Doug Keck, President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN, will be along at 15 minutes past the hour to let us know what's coming up on the network. And by the way, they've done such great coverage of this developing story. We're hearing more about, of course, the current crisis in the church. They're on top of it through EWTN News Nightly, the National Catholic Register, all of their other news outlets, Catholic news agencies. So please stay tuned to us and follow us. We'll have developments. I'm going to talk to Monsignor, who's a canon lawyer as well, about the statement from Cardinal DiNardo in the USCCB that just came out yesterday. Also, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be checking in with a beautiful, dear, dear soul, Faith Hakesley, who contacted me earlier this week, and she said, I want to speak out more. I want to do something more. I want to help other victims, but mostly she wants to help Catholics who are troubled by what's going on to stay put, to stay in the church, because she said she's been hearing from people who are talking about walking away because of the latest crisis. And she is someone who suffered greatly at the hands of an abusive priest who's now in prison. It's a horrendous story, but a bigger story is the way Monsignor God worked in Romans 8:28. And she said the suffering enabled her to really grow in many ways, and she wouldn't want to go through it again, obviously. But she said there are lessons to be learned, and she wants people to stay put and pray for the church. And she wrote a beautiful piece for the National Catholic Register a few years ago, and she's going to be joining me to talk about her impression of what's going on. I sent her a copy of the Cardinal's statement that came out yesterday, her thoughts on what needs to be done. And then, of course, we'll allow you to call in and ask some questions of Faith and chat with me and Monsignor. And then we want to give some more time to our friends for the Knights of Columbus. Bill Crosteva, who is the Grand Knight here at the Shrine, was on with me briefly right before the end of the hour, only had about 2 minutes. They do such amazing work.
The Knights of Columbus are fantastic.
Yeah, especially their work in the pro-life movement and all they do for pregnancy resource centers and ultrasound machines. So we want to check in with the Knights. So a lot going on. And if we have time, we're going to try to squeeze in the St. Paul Street Evangelization Group, who's here. It's grown across the country. They are here every year in addition to all the other great things they do here in Motown and across the nation. So it's a busy morning. So Monsignor, before we get to the news, and if we have time for the news, fine. If we don't, that's fine too. I wanted to get your opinion as a canon lawyer. You've had a chance to look over the statement from Cardinal DiNardo. What do you think?
Well, I think Cardinal DiNardo is laying forth a pathway for renewal in the church. I think he's right that we need to look at both the processes that are involved, and what he has outlined is genuine independence, authority in such a body, and the involvement of the laity. I think above all else, what he says, and we just have to say it plainly, as he says, I have no illusions about the degree to which the trust in the bishops has been damaged by these past sins and failures, and it will take work to rebuild that trust. Those are his words, and I think a sober and honest assessment of where we're at is where we need to start. And it really requires, whenever we go to confession, we have contrition, and then we have purpose of amendment. And so contrition is the real spiritual renewal, and you live it out by saying, here's what I'm going to do differently in the future, and that's what we need right now.
Yeah, he says, we firmly resolve with the help of God's grace never to repeat it. As you just said, I have no illusions about the degree to which trust in the bishops has been damaged by these past sins and failures. It will take work to rebuild that trust. What I have outlined here is only the beginning. Other steps will follow. I will keep you informed of our progress toward these goals. Now, what he's done, and by the way, you can find this, there is a story on EWTNnews.com as well as on the homepage of the USCCB. The statement is here. It came out yesterday from Cardinal Daniel DiNardo of Galveston, Houston. He's the Archbishop there, but also the President of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. He says that they've formed an executive committee establishing three goals: an investigation into questions surrounding Archbishop McCarrick, an opening of a new and confidential channels of reporting complaints against bishops, and advocacy for more effective resolution of future complaints. These goals will be pursued according to three criteria: proper independence, sufficient authority, and substantial leadership by laity. We've already begun, he says, to develop a concrete plan for accomplishing these goals, relying upon consultation with experts, laity, and clergy, as well as the Vatican. We'll present this plan to the full body of our bishops in the November meeting. And he says, in addition, he's going to be traveling to Rome to present the goals to the Holy Father. So this is a process, and it's beginning. So do you think there will be, they'll vote on it in November? I mean, explain how that would work and what would actually happen. They would actually take a vote on this at the fall meeting?
Well, I think there's a lot of discussion about what will unfold. As you said, the bishops, they have typically a business meeting in November. Then they have a meeting that has some business elements every June. And so that is the prime opportunity with all the bishops gathered together for them to make some recommendations, to vote and adopt policies, and then depending on what those policies are, they may involve the need to get the permission from the Holy See in light of what they have presented. But that would be the next best opportunity for them, at least as a body of bishops, to gather together and to adopt some concrete steps. But prior to that, I'm sure there'll be a lot of discussion. There's a lot of absorbing of news and information that needs to occur, and a lot of prayer to discern, to make sure that we do, that they do what's right, and
right.
that we as both clergy and laity have the right kind of spiritual perspective on all that has unfolded.
How are you doing and other priests that you've talked to in all this? Because we know there's so many good bishops and priests out there, and it's got to be so hard for you to kind of relive some of this stuff.
Well, I think in some ways it does feel like a replay in certain ways of what happened, particularly emanating from Boston in 2002, and then it was revealed throughout the church, particularly what was revealed in Pennsylvania covers a 70-year swath. And I think any time one has such a deep examination, it almost feels like something that it makes present in one snapshot decades of hurt and pain. And so it's very hard to absorb that in such a short window, because the pain was sustained and it was over such a significant period of time. I do find that the laity are very encouraging of priests. And so I have found a number of individuals going out of their way to let me know how much they support and encourage me, which I find affirming. I think Archbishop Vigneron here in Detroit has also looked to offer some encouraging words to priests. But at the same time, because I know when I have this collar, to some people I might as well be the Pope and a billion
right,
Catholics
right.
and every
yeah.
priest who ever lived, I know that I have to absorb, as a priest, some of the pain that people have. And so it's not about us, it's about Jesus, and it's about people who are hurting. And so I think we have to, every priest processes it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
But the focus does have to be on the fact that we are also uniquely positioned to help restore trust and confidence in people's lives.
Yeah. I think it is important, and you know this from working for many years directly with the Archbishop downtown, that people hear from, that the bishops hear from their people. And there's so many different ways to speak out. A lot of people are still venting and talking about things on social media, which is huge, but nothing beats a personal letter. I know from the books that I've written, my first book, Noise, and I know from working in the secular media, that one individual phone call saying, I'm so-and-so from, you know, suburban Detroit or from Chicago or wherever, and I saw your story, and they raise a question. If you're writing a personal letter versus a form letter, it means so much more. I had a beautiful letter. I don't have time to read it. Hopefully I'll read it next week, of a man from the South down in Louisiana who wrote a very respectful but very personal and poignant letter to his bishop, saying that he loves the church, he loves the priesthood, but that something has got to be done. But he talked specifically about his parish and his concerns. I think that's really important, don't you?
It is very important. And I think what can be transformative for anyone, laity, priest, bishop, is to also hear directly from someone who has been a victim. And I'm glad
yep.
that we will have
Faith
later
on.
In the
yeah.
hour the opportunity to chat with someone who's a victim and a survivor, because reading about it, as painful as it is not quite the same as speaking to someone who has gone through this. And so that is important, to be able to hear from those who have suffered.
I'm hoping and praying, and I don't know, I just throw it out there, and Dr. Matthew Bunsen and I were talking about this yesterday. I think it would be great if one or two victims, someone such as Faith, who obviously is strong in her faith and she's gone through, and we're emailing back and forth, I said, wow, is your name prophetic or what? The fact that she maintained her faith through that crisis. The fact that someone like her, who loves the church and who wants what's best for the church and isn't acting out, and she has righteous anger, but she's applying it correctly, for her to present, maybe make a statement to the bishops in November, to have one or two victims there. I'm just throwing it out. I think it would make a huge statement to the people and to the public of the sincerity in terms of really kind of moving forward. I think that would be something great that they could do. So who knows? I mean, what do you think? Possibility?
Those who suffered the most, you know, need to be given the opportunity to express their pain and
yeah,
suffering.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly the number of lay faithful who have had nothing to do with this, but who are good and faithful Catholics, it's a very challenging time. And I think we always need to be sensitive in terms of analogies that we draw, because we as the church have a higher standard and we need to be held accountable to that. I know some individuals, you know, I mean, we look at so many other painful areas that have experienced, the institutions that have experienced this.
Right.
And for a time, there's a period of shame. I mean, in Michigan, we went through the horrors
Nassar,
of the Larry Nassar.
Yeah, Larry
and
Nassar,
I have,
yeah.
You know, I have family and friends who go to Michigan State, And they are not defined by Larry Nassar. You know,
right.
They're defined by the fact that they've had a great experience at that college and they're proud alums. And this is something that, particularly in the intensity of those days, they would, it's almost like by connection, maybe they would feel the weight of that.
Right.
And so it's important for us to remember who we are. We are trusting in Jesus. He is our only salvation, and we are means to draw other people to Jesus. And so we need to take a look soberly and honestly and openly at all those areas of pain and where we need to change and grow and be reconciled. But at the same time, we can't lose who we are rooted in Jesus Christ.
Right. And think about the healing that happened when all those victims were allowed to give their statements before the sentencing of Larry Nassar. So there was a healing and I think a closure for them. So
absolutely.
Maybe that will be possible in November. We'll see and we'll pray about it. But we're moving forward. And we have to take a break. Speaking of moving forward, Monsignor McClory is going to be with me for the rest of the hour. He's the pastor here at Shrine. If you're ever in Detroit, please come by. It's a beautiful, beautiful basilica. You'll learn about St. Teresa Benedicta. You'll learn about St. Therese. You'll learn about her parents who are also saints. They just have a great place to pray and to worship. We'll be right back and we'll go down to Irondale, Alabama, and talk with our dear friend Doug Keck, Chief Operating Officer and President of EWTN. We are live along Woodward Avenue, the Woodward Dream Cruise. We'll be right back.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruise, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's 2 coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
And we're back live in Royal Oak, Michigan. It's a suburb of Motown, and it's along Woodward Avenue. It runs right through this beautiful suburb. And if you're ever in Detroit, great place to visit. The Shrine is a basilica dedicated to the doctor of the church, one of the female doctors of the church, of course, St. Therese of Lisieux. And we come live here every year because it's a great event to evangelize. There's all kinds of charitable groups. We have another group down the street at the Westbourne Market, which is a fabulous food market, and they're actually having a fundraiser and gathering items for Forgotten Harvest, which is a ministry that feeds the poor here in southeastern Michigan. There are a number of different churches, not just Catholic, but our Protestant brothers and sisters use this as an opportunity to witness to the faithful. And Doug Keck is on the phone with us, and he knows all about evangelization and witnessing, and we've got all kinds of great flyers and bumper magnets and information, Doug, about EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. So thanks for joining us on this Friday, and I want to have you say hello to my dear friend Monsignor McClory from the Shrine.
Hello, say Monsignor. Hello. How are you? I had the pleasure of listening to most of your conversation. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Big fan of EWTN. I'm delighted with all your work, and great to be a part of things today.
Well, Doug, let's talk a little bit. First of all, I just want to thank you for the coverage that you've been giving. EWTN News Nightly, Catholic News Agency, the National Catholic Register, EWTNNews.com, my go-to sources when I'm pulling together my news and my commentaries every morning on anything having to do with the Catholic Church, but also especially during this time of crisis. And just wanted to say thank you for doing such a reputable and solid job on this issue. Huge.
Right. Now, and that goes to all the different groups that are involved there, Dan Burke and his team, Raymond Arroyo, Lauren Ashburn, all of the materials that we've been putting out, as well as the friars during Mass, etc., praying for the victims, and even some of our other programs where we've had the opportunity to comment on it, along with what you've been doing and so many people have been doing, Al, etc., on radio.
What have you been hearing in terms of the tone out there of the viewers and the listeners and the country on this right now as to where we should go with this whole thing and moving forward?
Well, I think not dissimilar to what's been said. I think the biggest issue is people want to see some level of outrage. And I think some of the concerns sometimes have been, and it's understandable if you work in corporations and organizations, but sometimes some of the first responses sound incredibly lawyerly or written by public relations departments. And I think sometimes what people want to hear from our bishops and our leaders, and I think we're starting to hear more of that, and we've heard some from others in different areas, is the level of outrage and disgust that these things have gone on and or have been permitted to go on at some level. And I think people understand that the church is holy, but the people in it aren't. And if there's transparency and honesty, I think the people love their faith. They love their church. As we all say, St. Peter said, "Where are we to go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life." An old friend of mine used to say, if I could pick my church, I'd be a Quaker. But it wasn't started by Jesus Christ. The Catholic Church was. So this is where we are. And this is where we plant our flag. And this is where we battle for the truth.
And we do battle for the truth every day, and we remind folks, and we're going to talk to one of the victims who actually wrote a beautiful piece for the Register a few years ago, who contacted me last week wanting to speak out again. And I think this is how we help people, by giving them a voice.
Oh, exactly. And I think that's important that, you know, all of us at different phases over the last 20 years, sometimes when some of these things first broke out, there was a certain amount of kind of thinking, well, this couldn't really possibly be true, even before the 2002, and then things came out. And then we felt many times it was important to deal with that and at the same time make the point that, you know, when you start casting around words like, you know, somebody being a pederast or something, and understanding that, you know, that's talking about people who are younger than 12 or 13 years old. And much of what's been indicated has come out, and even in the recent Cardinal case, you were talking about some of that way in the past, but other situations that were obviously with, you know, at least post-pubescent children. Now, with that the case, the important point is that they're all children, and they're all being dealt with at different times by people in authority, whether it's in school, a teacher, a doctor, all a lawyer, all of that is supposed to be protected, because there's an understanding that there's a relationship there of power that person should not be able to take advantage of. And that's part of the equation. And I think part of the thing that people want to hear too and have some concerns about is there's a sense out there that people say that there's a gay issue in the church. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they hear discussions about particular things, but they don't quite hear that being brought out directly as being possibly part of the issue. You know, I'm not an expert, so I can't say, but I think there's enough stories out there that people understand that there are issues in the priesthood and in the church. And we have to be honest about that, and we have to deal with that. And I think we're at a point right now that as Cardinal Burke, who was on with Raymond last night, you know, said, I'll quote him, "I think we have to recognize an apostasy from the faith. I believe that there have been a practical apostasy from the faith with regards to all of the questions involving human sexuality. Principally, it starts with the idea that there can be legitimate sexual activity outside of marriage," which, of course, is false. Completely false. Present time, not only with regard to this crisis which we're speaking, but with regard to a number of other situations in the church, that the devil is very active. And I think, and that's what Cardinal Burke said, and I think he's right on the money.
Yeah, I just printed the story before I came here from EWTNnews.com. Some other quotes from Cardinal Burke. The only way this trust will be restored is to get to the bottom of this whole matter and make sure for the future that this does not happen. And this falls under the responsibility of the Holy Father. It's the Pope's responsibility to receive accusations against a bishop and investigate them. This is not... Now, this is what's interesting, Doug, and Monsignor, you're right. A canon lawyer, you can jump in here, but he says it's not a part of the responsibility of the Conference of Bishops, referring to the statement that was put out by DiNardo yesterday. So it seems that already, even though the statement was very strong, that there's somewhat of a conflict into how this can be accomplished.
Well, Doug, you know, one of the things that you mentioned that I think is just very timely to remember, and our local Archbishop Vigeron here quoted St. John Paul II from 2002, and St. John Paul II said, "The faithful must know that bishops and priests are totally committed to the fullness of Catholic truth on matters of sexual morality, a truth as essential to the renewal of the priesthood and the episcopate as it is to the renewal of marriage and family life." And the commitment to those truths is foundational to a transformation of our church.
Doug, we're out of time, but I just want to remind folks, of course, all the great programming for the schedule, EWTN.com, and for the latest on this developing story, of course, Raymond Arroyo, the world over, Lauren Ashburn, EWTN News Nightly, EWTNnews.com, Catholic News Agency, and the National Catholic Register. Great outfits that will give you all the truth all the time. Doug, thanks. We'll talk again next week.
Okay, World Meeting of Families next week.
Oh, that's right. We'll see you there on TV. We'll be right back.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5. Is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I, you know, made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, you know, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, oh, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Are we always obliged to obey our conscience? The Catholic Catechism asserts that we are always obliged to obey the certain judgment of our conscience, and that if we deliberately act against a good conscience, we condemn ourselves. On the other hand, our moral conscience may remain in ignorance, and thus we can make erroneous judgments about acts performed in the future or those performed in the past. If ignorance is caused by personal responsibility or negligence, we are culpable of the sin we commit. Some of the causes of erroneous judgment can be ignorance of Christ and his gospel, bad examples of peers, enslavement to one's passion, rejection of the church's authority and her teaching, lack of conversion and lack of charity. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hope you're having a blessed Friday. We are live from Royal Oak, Michigan. It's a suburb of Detroit. We're smack in the middle of the Archdiocese of Detroit, just outside the Shrine of the Little Flower Basilica. The pastor here, my friend Monsignor Robert McClory, is with us as he is every year doing this live because he's, well, first of all, he's got a really great radio voice. I keep telling you, you should do more of this. It's really fun. Can you believe how fast it's gone already? It's already 9:30.
I can't believe
Eastern
it's 9:30. You must be having so much fun every day.
Every day I get to talk about Jesus and meet great people like this right here in front of us. Give yourselves a round of applause. We're showing up on a Friday morning. The Woodward Dream Cruise, it is a big event, a huge event that happens every year here in southeastern Michigan. I started covering this when it first began, Monsignor, when I was working at Channel 50 years ago. You remember when I had the big Rosanna Danaher? You and I have known each other for a long time, and we were cruising along with our TV van. Now it's up to 1.5 million people that come in from all over the state and the country and the world, actually, to celebrate classic cars and to evangelize and to just have great community events And it is really a lot of fun if you're ever in Motown this time of year. We did have a great conversation with Doug Keck, the President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN, and he's going to be covering the World Meeting of Families with our dear sister Jeanette Bankefic next weekend. We didn't get a chance to talk about that, but we'll have Doug and Jeanette on with us next week. But just stay close to us here at EWTN.com for all the information. Monsignor, one of the things that we were talking about earlier and leading up to our conversation with Faith Hixley, who's on the phone with us, is the importance of allowing the victims to come forward and share their story. And Faith wrote a beautiful piece for the Register a few years ago about how she was able to find healing and hope and learn a lot about suffering, what she went through with her own abuse experience. And she's on the phone with us now. Her piece from the Register will post on my Facebook page and also on the archive section at AveMariaRadio.net. Faith, thanks for joining us this morning. And you're with me and Monsignor McClory from the Archdiocese of Detroit.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, your thoughts. Give us just a brief summary of what happened to you and how you were able to come to a place of healing and forgiveness.
I was raised Catholic. Let's start off that way. But I got a job. My first job, I was 15, and I got a job at the parish rectory here in Haverhill, Massachusetts. And you can guess what happened from there. It was about a year later, my oldest brother passed away unexpectedly from a heart condition, and Matt's death sent me into a tailspin, and my parents had no idea. You know, understandably, I was upset, but they sent me to a Christian therapist, and just everything came out. I just couldn't hold it all in anymore. Long story short, he was tried and convicted. He spent, I think he spent 9 years in prison, and then he was deported to his native Colombia. In 2008, shortly, I think a month before my husband and I were married, I was given the privilege of meeting privately with Pope Benedict in Washington during his trip at the Apostolic Nunciature with four other survivors from the Archdiocese of Boston. And, I mean, my faith has been at the core of all of this. I can't imagine being able to keep going without it. Without my faith, I have no hope. And Pope Benedict was a huge part of that. Also, just my parents, the people I was surrounded with. But there also came a point where I had to accept the graces of the Holy Spirit and use that courage to just keep going no matter what I was being told. I actually had a priest one time counsel me that he thought that God would understand if I stopped going to Mass, because I was really struggling with my faith. I was struggling to go to church every Sunday. It was really only because of my parents and the fear of God that kept me going. And I remember him telling me that actually motivated me more to keep going, because I can't imagine giving it up. And I think to this day, I look at all these Catholics who are leaving or who are tempted to leave, and they're using the scandal as an excuse. And I just urge them to stand strong. This is a spiritual battle from its very core. And leaving the faith, leaving the church, you're just letting evil win. The devil has taken enough away from me. He's taken enough away from the victims. He's taken enough away from us as Catholics. We can't give up. And I see people enticed by these non-Catholic denominations who seem to preach about all the things that many of our own priests are sadly avoiding. But they don't boast. They don't have what we Catholics can boast to having: Jesus Himself, the sacraments, all those wonderful things. So we need to just call upon the Holy Spirit more than ever in these days and remain strong in all this.
Monsignor, I know you wanted to just chat with Faith for a minute about some of the things that you've experienced and what we've gone through in the church.
You know, Faith, first of all, I just want to thank you so much and for your faith as Faith, the witness that you're giving to how the Lord can touch your heart and just bring you to the place where you are today. Do you have any advice for priests or for laity who have someone share a story of how they were harmed by a priest, particularly in a way that you were? What would you advise we do to respond?
I think sadly, I think a lot of people are in denial over this. So the first thing that needs to happen is the bishops and everyone in the church needs to wake up and realize that this is a huge deal. We're going to see the repercussions of this for years to come. We're already seeing it. I think the first thing that pops into my mind is law enforcement needs to be involved. We can't be afraid to get the laity involved. We can't be afraid to bring in investigators and detectives. That's the first thing that comes to mind. I think priests need to stop shielding one another, as tough as that may be. And again, the USCCB has to wake up.
What did you think of the statement that I sent you last night from the USCCB, the latest efforts?
It sounds good on paper. I want to see what they actually do about it.
And what do you think? You and I were chatting on the phone in preparation for this interview. And by the way, Faith is going to be joining me along with our very own Dr. Janet Smith from Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit next Wednesday for a webcast I'm doing on how the laity must respond. In terms of having victims speak in November, I think this would be huge. I really think that they have to be given a platform at this upcoming fall meeting.
Absolutely. I mean, at this point, we need to hear from them. We need to hear their stories as much as we want to turn a blind. I think a lot of people are ready to be done with this. This story became big, what was it, 2002? And I think people were convinced, oh, it's done with. It's not. I'm not even sure we're at the tip of the iceberg. I mean, this is just going to get even bigger, I think. And yet we need to hear from the victims. We need to hear what they need. We need to hear what they want. Absolutely.
We're talking with Faith Hixley, and she is someone who is a survivor of abuse, and she has a beautiful story to tell. She did not leave the church. She said it was her faith, actually, that got her through. If you have a question for Faith or would just like to encourage her to continue to speak out, she contacted me last week, a follower of EW10. She had a beautiful piece in the Register a few years ago about her experience and meeting Pope Benedict, which also had a huge impact with her. And she said, I want to speak out. I want to do more writing. So I am encouraging her to finally get that book done because I think it would be phenomenal. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Faith will be back on with us along with Monsignor McClory on this special edition of Catholic Connection. We are live from the Woodward Dream Cruise in Royal Oak, Michigan. And we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Stopping you from becoming a Catholic.
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
why
a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Recently, a Michigan State Court judge denied the Western Women's Center's request for restitution in a case involving a pro-life rescue. The Women's Center, a notorious abortion center located in West Bloomfield, Michigan, argued through the township's prosecutor that it was entitled to restitution for lost services and attorney's fees as a direct result of a trespass offense committed by five pro-lifers who peacefully entered the abortion center this past December to give red roses and a message of love and hope to the women in the waiting room. During the restitution hearing, the abortion center's office manager testified that 12 women did not follow through with their appointments the morning of the rescue and that 11 of these appointments were for scheduled abortions. None of these women have since returned to the abortion center nor returned the center's calls more than 6 months later. The center was desperately trying to reschedule the abortions. Thankfully, it did not succeed. Make no mistake, the pro-lifers were not going to pay a penny to these baby killers even if the judge did order restitution. Thankfully, the judge followed the law and rejected the prosecutors and the abortion center's frivolous request. At the end of the day, the hearing was a great success because the abortion center had to admit under oath that many lives were rescued the day these courageous pro-lifers entered its waiting room. Mission accomplished. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
hope you're having a blessed Friday. We're live in Motown, the Motor City, and we're praying for the family of Aretha Franklin. The Queen of Soul passed away this week, and she's much loved here, and there's a lot of news about her here and a big story around the country, around the world, because she was such an incredible musician and artist. And so we pray for her family and her soul. 877-573-7825. Having a beautiful, very powerful conversation with Faith Hakesley. She is a survivor, and she stayed in her faith, and she said it was her faith that got her through the difficult period that she went through with abuse. And Faith, we were chatting during the break, and you were thinking about some of the things that are going on right now. You really want to reach out to Catholics, not just abuse survivors, but to all Catholics. What do you think the laity need to do? We mentioned what the bishops need to do. You responded to the Cardinal's latest statement from the USCCB. I'm encouraging laity to make sure that they write their bishops. Monsignor and I were talking in the first hour of the program. Skip the form letters. Write that personal letter from your heart, respectfully talking to your shepherd. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. You know, I think I mentioned to you Fulton Sheen's quote, something to the effect of who's going to save our church. It's not the priests, it's not the bishops, it's us to us, the laity. We need to remind them to be the priests to be priests, and we need to remind the bishops to be bishops. And it is up to us, the laity, to say a big yes to God, remain strong and steadfast in our faith, and to take a stand against this evil trying to completely corrupt our church and take it down. I think if need be, if it gets to the point, write a letter to the bishops. If need be, you stage a protest, a peaceful protest, you know, outside their residence. And you know what? Money speaks volumes. You know, if you are uncomfortable with how things are going in your diocese, maybe withhold, giving as much money or giving any money to the annual Cardinal's Appeal. But write why this is happening.
Exactly.
Until this happens, I can't support this.
Yeah, Monsignor Pope had an excellent piece in the Register. I think it was this week or last week. I can't remember. I've been reading so much. And he says if you are making that decision, and it's up to people individually what they want to do, then you need to let them know why. But he also said to still support ministries, for example, that are dealing with the needy. And let's say that you want to still support pro-life causes. Well, then support your local pregnancy center or your local soup kitchen. Yeah. But to let them know why you're just like when when I talk about media, don't just turn off the TV. Tell them why you're turning off the program or not subscribing to the paper anymore, because that has an impact, right?
Thing about a little bit during the break here, you know, where I'm at the National Shrine of the Little Flower. How did Saint Therese have an impact on you in your moment of deep pain and as you were looking for the way forward?
Well, I love her book, Story of a Soul. She was my confirmation saint, and actually our five-year-old daughter is named Teresa Rose after Saint Therese. Sometimes we regret that because Saint Therese, as you know, she was very spirited, so was our daughter. But anyway, she talks a lot about that period of darkness where she didn't feel God's presence, she didn't feel his love, she just didn't feel anything. And that really helped get me through, because there were years, even during the abuse, where I was just thinking, why are you allowing this to happen? I'm praying for it to stop. What, you know, where are you, Lord? But you know what? Looking back, I can see his influence sometimes in hindsight. You know, you see things more clearly. And just like little Therese eventually was able to kind of come out of that, even though, you know, again, she kind of had that faith that was just like, okay, I'm just going to do it. I don't feel you. I'm not seeing fireworks, but I'm just going to do it. And that's kind of what I've had to do. I've had those moments where I truly feel like God is with me. But most of the time, I'm just putting one foot in front of the other. Just, okay, Lord, this is what I got to do. And using her, St. Therese's example of her little way. It's the little things we do on a daily basis. You know, not all of us are meant to go out and fight battles. In this case, though, I think we are all called to fight in one way or another. everyone needs to be involved.
Amen.
Yeah, everyone needs to speak up respectfully and stand true in the faith. We're chatting with Faith Hakesley, who is an abuse survivor. She's from the Archdiocese of Boston, and she wrote a beautiful story for the National Catholic Register a few years ago about her experience. And she contacted me last week because she wants to write more. Now, I know that I've been encouraging you to. You've been writing a lot. You told me the last couple of years thinking about writing a book. What would be your main message in that book? Are you thinking and praying about what do you think is most important for you, knowing what you've went through and stayed strong in your faith, even though you had those dark nights of the soul? What do you want to really put out there to other Catholics and others who are listening to this program?
Basically, in short, to encourage people to remain in the faith. You know, we're in a time, we're in the fight of our lives here. But sadly, this is not an issue that, this is not just a Catholic thing. This goes on everywhere. Our whole society is just being run down. You know, it's being attacked by the devil. There's no doubt about that. We have wolves dressed in sheep's clothing everywhere. Now, we can delve deep into the hows and whys of how we've gotten where we are today in our church, the watering down of the mass, the watering down of the faith, homosexuality, socialism, the Paul Alinskys of the world. You know, you could take up so much time talking about that. But I really want to get into, in my writing, how we need to, we can't let Satan win. He's taken away so much from us. He's trying to take away more. He's attacking our shepherds so that the flock will stray. We can't let him do that. And I really just want to offer people hope. People have been through far worse than I have. I get it. But without our faith, we cannot have any hope. And I just can't imagine giving up the greatest. Jesus gave us the greatest gift in our Catholic faith, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. How could you give that up? I just don't understand. So people who use the scandal, you know, I'm leaving, I can't take this anymore, they're using that as an excuse. They don't truly understand what they have in our faith. And I hope that in whatever I write, I can get that across to people.
Thank you so much, Faith. What an inspiration to hear words from you that can inspire not just me, but so many other people. It's just very encouraging, and know that you'll be in my prayers, our prayers, as these days unfold.
I think if people could just, Faith, wrap around or grab and take a deep breath. I know a lot of people who have written me, we had a man on the air last week. I had Father John Mercado, who's a wonderful priest and teacher from our archdiocese, mm-hmm. and well-known to our EWTN listeners as well. He's a host of Ave Maria Radio's Christ is the Answer, which is also broadcast here on the network. And we had a gentleman call in almost in tears from the Archdiocese of Atlanta saying he's so frustrated. He has this urge to walk away. And then at the same time, we had another man call in who had suffered abuse at the hands of a family member who said it was his faith that got him through mm-hmm. that. And he really, I think, helped this man understand what you're saying, not to walk away. But I think there is a level of frustration and anger that people have to get a hold of and then channel that correctly, as opposed to saying, I'm done, basta, I'm walking away from the church, right?
Absolutely. I mean, these bishops, you know, again, they have to wake up. And, you know, they have a fear of the repercussions of losing their power and influence. And, you know, a lot of them, they just want to be able to carry out their liberal, progressive, socialist, whatever you want to call it, agendas. But the cries of thousands of innocent children are on their hands. And these bishops have been, and priests have been repeatedly excused, protected, defended. And we have far too many priests who promote lax teaching and even heresies within the church. So they need to be held accountable, but they're also, they're just, at this point, there just needs to be action. And I think we, the laity, we're the ones that can help make that happen.
How would you suggest that we support? We know that there are, in addition to all the problems that we've been talking about at length, there are so many good priests and bishops. How do we encourage them? What do you think?
I think we need to just hold tight to them. I'm blessed to know a few good, holy priests. And, when possible, we go to their churches, you know, that's kind of a distance away. But also, I think we need to encourage them to lead us. They need to be encouraging us as well, so that we can enter this battle and come out successful. And we will. We will come out successful. You know, we have the Blessed Mother on our side. At Fatima, she said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. I hold that, you know, close to my heart. And we have the words of Jesus himself. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Satan's going to try, but he's not going to succeed in the end. So there is hope.
Well, you are just a blessing, and thank you so much for sharing. And we look forward to chatting with you for a full hour on Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern. Faith is going to be joining me along with Dr. Janet Smith. We're going to be talking about being co-workers in the kingdom based on 1 Corinthians 3:9, and why the lady must come together to stand with those good bishops and priests who want to clear this up, who want to make a difference. We can do this together. But your quote from Archbishop Fulton Sheen, so important that the lady have a huge role here. Right, Monsignor?
Thank you so much, Faith. We're in the age of the lady, there's no doubt about it, and engaged and thoughtful voices like yours, people who've been through it and who can help us to a brighter tomorrow, are just so important.
Faith, God bless you, and we'll be talking on Wednesday, and then I'm going to be really bugging the heck out of you to get that book done.
If you can come babysit my kids, I'll have it done in no time.
Oh, Auntie T is fun. Your kids will be all sugared up and spoiled rotten, and then I'll leave, and they'll be in your hands. That's what I do to my grandnieces and nephews. All right, well, I just want to remind folks that Faith is going to be joining me, as I mentioned, on a webcast on Wednesday. Each month I do a webcast for my publisher of my new book, Beyond Sunday, our Sunday visitor. And you can find out by going to my Facebook page at facebook.com/Mrs. Teresa Tomeo. You can sign up. It's free. If you can't listen live at 11 a.m. Eastern next Wednesday, which will be the 22nd, you can register, and then you can go watch it or listen to it later. But we're going to be looking at the statement from the Cardinal, Cardinal DiNardo from the USCCB, what they put out there. Janet Smith will be giving some great insight. She's leading one of the laity charges. We'll be chatting with her. And then, of course, Faith will have more suggestions for the laity and what we can do to make a difference and also help other victims. And Faith, God bless you. Thank you for your witness. And I think she deserves, folks, a big round of applause. We're here live in the Archdiocese of Detroit. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection. Faith, thank you so much, and we'll talk on Wednesday, sweetie.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruise, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's 2 coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net. Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% to Father Bouquet's Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back. We are live at the Shrine with the pastor of this beautiful basilica in the Archdiocese of Detroit, my friend Monsignor Robert McClure. I'm trying to figure out how long we've known each other. It's been years.
Yeah.
But we're young.
We are. I think we're getting close to about 20 years or so, Teresa.
We'll be coming over here. I'll be with my walker. You'll be with your walker. And we'll be talking and evangelizing, God willing. Anyway, wow, what a story. Thanks to Faith Hakesley. What a beautiful testimony and a witness as to we can come through this. We will come through this with God's grace and help. And I think the victims are going to be, they have to be a big part of it. And also the whole thing about evangelization can become a little bit challenging right now because of all of the news out there about the church. So I want to spend the last few minutes talking about that. Also wanted to say thanks to Bill Kostreva from the Knights of Columbus. He's the Grand Knight here at the National Shrine. We had a few minutes before. We're going to have you back on. Thank you for turning the last spot over to our friends here at St. Paul Street Evangelization. Randy Huseño, who has been on with me before from St. Paul Street Evangelization, is with us. Randy, first give our listeners from across the country and around the world, don't be nervous, you're only on like 300-400 stations, no big deal.
Okay, that's fine.
What is going on this weekend in terms of evangelization with St. Paul Street Evangelization?
So this weekend what we're doing is, as all the listeners are aware, there's a Woodward Dream Cruise. Over a million people will be in attendance, and they'll be walking down the sidewalks in front of Shrine. We have like the prime real estate location for it. And what we'll do is we'll be on the corner. We'll be handing out free rosaries, miraculous medals, pamphlets, books, literature to these individuals. And it's all just meant to be an icebreaker to lead to an open discussion of their faith with them and draw them to the beauty of the gospel in Jesus Christ.
Have you had any pushback with the recent news that's out there? I know that when I had another rep on from St. Paul Street Evangelization prior to, this was right after about a week or two after the McCarrick story broke, before we had the grand jury report this week, and he said he really hadn't heard anything. People are just looking for prayers, and they're just entering into a general conversation. What are you finding with that?
So that's a great question. What I'm finding is that there really is not a pushback. What I see with the people in the world today is that they're thirsting. They're seeking something. They know that there's some higher power, that there's some plan in their life. They don't realize they're seeking the truth of Jesus Christ, but they are. And when we meet people, we get into a discussion of their faith, and we tell them our own personal testimonies, or we just start talking about God and Jesus and the beauty of the gospel, and they become drawn to it. They're thirsting for something, and when we're with them, they're able to come and realize that, yes, you know what, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and they want to come encounter and join in it.
Thank you so much for your great work. What's the website for St. Paul Street Evangelization?
www.streetevangelization.com. That's www.streetevangelization.com.
Monsignor, I can't believe the 2 hours is up. Great to see you again. Monsignor Robert McClory, pastor of Shrine. Thanks for listening, and we'll have a special edition of Catholic Connection on a Monday. Back live with you on Tuesday. Thanks to our live audience here, and we'll talk to you folks on a Monday. Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.